Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
My name is Luca. I live on the second floor. I live upstairs from you. Yes, I think you've seen me before. If you hear something late at night, some kind of trouble, some kind of fight, just don't ask me what it was. Just don't ask me what it was.
From newsounds.org, this is another remote edition of the Soundcheck podcast. I'm John Schaefer. It's still amazing to me that Suzanne Vega scored such a big hit with this song, Luca, back in the mid-80s, a song about a child in an abusive home. It's a tribute to her storytelling ability as a songwriter, and over the years, Suzanne Vega has become one of America's leading songwriters. But as her new album shows, she is also, even more specifically, one of the great New York City songwriters. Her latest album, recorded live at the Cafe Carlyle, is called An Evening of New York Songs and Stories. It comes out Friday, September 11th, and Suzanne Vega joins us from her home here in New York to play some of the songs that are on the new record, some of them going back a few years, like this first song called Cracking.
It's a one-time thing. It just happens a lot. Walk with me, and we will see what we have got. My footsteps are ticking like water dripping from a tree, walking a hairline and stepping very carefully. Seeing blind, soon it will hit the deep freeze. And something is cracking. I don't know where. Ice on the sidewalk, brittle branches in the air. The sun is blinding, dizzy golden, dancing green through the park in the afternoon, wondering where the hell I have been.
That's Suzanne Vega with a live performance of her song Cracking at home. The song appears on Suzanne's new record called An Evening of New York Songs and Stories. And Suzanne, first of all, thank you so much for being with us today from your home in New York. Good to see you again.
Thank you. Good to see you too.
Cracking is now, it's like 35 years old, that song. And you know, like people, you don't expect songs to still be exactly the same thing 35 years later. And listening to you, the performance we just heard, when you did the kind of the speech singing thing at the top,
yeah,
all I could think of was Lou Reed.
Well, maybe it's, there's certainly enough books about Lou Reed here. He's probably looking at us from way over there. So his spirit is here. I think he was even in this apartment. One or two Christmas parties.
Yeah. So when I think of New York songwriters, I think of Lou Reed, but you have also been lifelong, you know, a New York resident, an observer of New York. In putting this evening of New York songs together, was that always something you were aware of along the way, or did it just hit you at some point? You know, I've written a lot of songs about New York.
It hit me. I guess I look for themes,
right,
when I perform. And sometimes they're a theme of maybe two or three songs about winter, or two or three songs about that are love songs, or, you know, I look for themes. So when I decided we were going to do the Carlisle Cafe, or the Cafe Carlisle, I thought, let's do a New York theme, because it's a hotel and people come from out of town. And I think I identified myself as a New York songwriter pretty early on. Probably after Tom's Diner was a big hit. It was probably around 1990 when that song was embraced by everybody. So I think around then, and also with the Beauty and Crime album was a very New York centric album. It was all about 9/11 and the aftermath, and there were a lot of stories there. So, you know, it had been kind of growing for a while, I guess you could say.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Beauty and Crime because, you know, in the wake of 9/11, I know a lot of people, including some people who, like you and I, grew up here in New York and have spent our whole lives here, who basically thought it was time to get out of Dodge.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt like, oh, there is no way in hell I am leaving New York now. It seems like just from trying to read between the lines of the songs on that record that you were in that headspace as well.
Yeah, I mean, I do leave New York. I go on tour. I call that going on tour.
Of course.
When I leave New York. But then I come back. I always feel a sense of relief when I come over the bridge and see the skyline from whatever airport I'm coming home from. So it's not a place that I would think of leaving, you know, and that's true recently, too. I mean, members of my family came over to my house right when we had the lockdown, and they were like, we're out of here. So we stayed, and we're still staying, and here we are.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, New York is very different now. I mean, it's a cliche to say, but it's cliche because it's true that the city that we grew up in is not the city that we live in now. So when you go back to these older songs and think of a New York City that was dirty and cheap and crime ridden, do you have nostalgia for that?
No, I don't. I don't have a nostalgia for that, because that what you're talking about is the 70s, really. So in the 70s, I was 11 to like 19. So I wasn't out there like living in a loft down in Tribeca. You know, I was still at home with my parents. I was going to school and trying to imagine a world that I could survive in. You know, I was going out for jobs. I was a messenger the year of Son of Sam.
I was too.
Oh, really?
I was a messenger that summer.
Oh, that's funny. it was an art office. They did commercial art based on 42nd Street and Fifth Avenue. So that was the area I was running around delivering artwork to ad agencies. So I have to say, I don't see the 70s with that sense of nostalgia.
Yeah. Now, this isn't the first time that you have revisited some of the old songs. I mean, one of the prior times you were on our show in our studio was for the close-up series. We did all these acoustic versions of some of these old songs. So, you know, how, I guess it goes back to the question of, do these songs evolve for you, or is it just us as listeners who bring something new to them?
Some of them evolve, but some of them are more of a deepening. You know, some of it, a song like Cracking, I wrote that actually even before you know. I mean, I wrote that the year I turned 20. So it's actually 40 years now, or 41 years. And I still feel it as a modern song. And I still feel it as a song that deepens. You know, it's not that it progresses or it goes anywhere. It doesn't. It's circular. It goes around and around. But I can still call up that emotion very easily. So that's the way it works with a lot of my songs. And if I don't feel it anymore, really, a lot of times they fall away.
Another song, another early song that is on the new record is Freeze Tag. And this actually is a nice kind of companion to Cracking, because you alluded before to winter, and both of these songs have kind of wintry imagery in them.
Yes, winter imagery, and also being in the park. The playgrounds are in the parks, usually.
Right.
And I spent a lot of time as a child and as an adolescent in various parks, mostly Riverside back then, but now Central Park. So yes, you're right. There's a theme.
All right. Well, let's. We're speaking with Suzanne Vega. The album's called An Evening of New York Songs and Stories, recorded last year at the Cafe Carlyle. It comes out tomorrow, September 11th, and Suzanne's with us from home. Let's hear her performance of this song called Freeze Tag.
Playground in the wintertime. The sun's fading fast on the slides into the past, on the swings of indecision in the wintertime. In the dimming diamonds scattering in the park, in the tickling and the trembling of freeze tag in the dark. We play that we're actors on a movie screen. I will be Dietrich and you can be Dean. You stand with your hand in your pocket and lean against the wall. You will be Bogart and I will be McCall. And we can only say yes now to the sky, to the street, to the night. Slow fade now to black. Play me one more game of chivalry. You and me, do you see where I've been hiding in this hide and seek? And we go to the playground in the wintertime. The sun is fading fast upon the slides into the past. The swings of indecision in the wintertime, 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 wintertime. We can only say yes now to the sky, to the street, to the night. We can only say yes now to the sky, to the street, to the night. Thank you.
That's Suzanne Vega with Freeze Tag, a live performance at home for this episode of the Soundcheck podcast from newsounds.org. The album version is, I guess I have to say now there are a couple of album versions. There's the original from 85, and now it's on the new record, An Evening of New York Songs and Stories, recorded live at the Cafe Carlyle. So let me ask you about your decision to include Walk on the Wild Side in this set of your old New York songs. You introduce the song to the audience there by saying that Lou was kind of a formative influence on you. So how does he kind of fit into the narrative of Suzanne Vega, New York City storyteller?
Well, I was going to college up at Barnard, and someone asked me out on a date, and they asked me, did I want to see Lou Reed at Columbia? And that turned out to be a very formative night, because there were a few songs that just jumped out at me. And I wasn't so much interested in the theatricality of his performance. I was really interested in the songwriting itself, and especially in his lyrics, because they were little stories that he was telling. And some of them were about violence or abuse. Some of them were from female characters, which I thought was amazing. You know, when you listen to Leonard Cohen or even Bob Dylan, they don't have songs from a female point of view. But Lou did. And I just kind of threw the door open for me in terms of making me feel a kind of freedom that I had never perceived before. So I became a big fan of his. I bought the Berlin album, and eventually we met on television. We met during an interview with MTV, the 120 Minutes show, the alternative show.
Right.
So on YouTube, yeah. You can still see this first time meeting between the two of us in 1986. And that was the beginning of our friendship.
Holly came from Miami, FLA. Hitchhiked her way across the USA. Plucked her eyebrows on the way. Shaved her legs, and then he was a she. She said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. Candy came from out on the island.
Had you been writing songs up to that point?
Oh yeah, I started writing songs when I was about 14. And okay. When I went to this, on this date, I was 19. So by the time, in those 5 years, I'd written probably 100 songs.
Wow.
I really, really worked at it. And I had been trying to get a gig at the Bitter End for years. For 2 years, I tried to get a gig at the Bitter End, and it never worked out for me. But after I saw Lou Reed, my songwriting style changed. And I worked up the courage to go to Folk City, which was around the corner, and that's really where I got my start.
Yeah. It's funny listening to the sequence of songs on the new record on An Evening of New York Songs and Stories. You get to Walk on the Wild Side, and then the next song is Ludlow Street. And having just heard a Lou Reed song, you know, I hear lines like, you know, the morning after painted in nicotine, and think, oh my God, that sounds like a Lou Reed line, you know, which I mean, I hope you will take as the highest form of compliment. But, you know, it's just weird to suddenly have that song in your mind's ear. It sort of changes the lens through which you then see the next couple of songs. As a listener.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think you should. And in some ways, it's not that I'm copying Lou Reed, but we both occupied the same world, different
right.
corners of it, but we're still in the same world, and in some respects, the same scene, although, as I said, different corners of it.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool.
Another generation's parties, and it is still the same old scene. I can recall each morning after, fingers painted in nicotine. This time, when I go back to Ludlow Street,
You know, it's not that I would say that that sounded like something Lou Reed would say himself, but it's the kind of tiny telling detail that make his songs so
true,
kind of living, you know?
And it was true. So, I mean, that is one of the details. It's based on an actual party I had gone to way back in the 80s that went on for several days, as I recall. It was some New Year's Eve party that didn't want to end. I think I got back. It started on the Monday, and I think I got home on the Thursday. And that was one of the... I was in a phase where I was experimenting with smoking. And that I remember looking down and seeing my fingers covered in nicotine.
Wow. All right. Another thing about this new recording is it really does span a whole chronology of your career. I mean, we get early songs like Cracking and Freeze Tag. But also, New York Is My Destination is from the Carson McCullers show from just a couple of years ago. So, you know, it's a thread, it's a theme that takes maybe a novice listener through the entirety of now a close to 40-year career that you've had as a songwriter.
Yeah, I was happy about that. I like to include new songs. I mean, because there are some audience members who really would be happy if you just played album one and album two, and they really are not, don't know what I've been up to since then. So I like to open it up more. You know, I like to do a song like, say, New York Is a Woman or New York Is My Destination. I like it. It feels entertaining to me.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you do give us Luca and Tom's Diner. Although your version of Tom's Diner with the band at the Cafe Carlisle is a little closer to the DNA remix than to the original version that you did.
There are times where I do it a cappella. Whenever I perform without Jerry, for example, I do it myself, which I did.
Jerry Leonard, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm happy to do it a cappella. But in a show like this where there's a band, I'll do the remix because people really groove on it. It's like it's a very joyful way to end the show.
I am thinking of your voice and of the midnight picnic once upon a time before the rain began. And I finish up my coffee, and it's time to catch the train.
So, Frilla, it used to be this kind of quiet little song about being alienated, and now everyone has their own memories about it that reminds them of the 90s or certain raves they were at, or you know, whatever. People all have their own associations, but for me, that's what that song is about now. It's like the joyful ending that I don't want to deprive them of it.
Yeah, it's
and
so
for me too,
because
I get to dance and move, so it's great.
It's just so interesting because, and again, this goes back to songwriting, there are songs in which you tell stories. I mean, Luca is pretty clear about what its subject matter is. Mm-hmm. But Tom's Diner, especially at the end, is, you know, sort of left up to the listener to put the pieces together to, well, you know, she's hearing those church bells and she's getting ready to go on the train. What's going on here? You know, there are many possible stories that you can write around the little clues that you've given us in that song.
I think you're right. It was a song that, interestingly, I was influenced by French films, by the New Wave movement. Those films that were in black and white, and the cuts are very long, and people are sitting down, and sometimes they look away, and sometimes they look at each other. You know, it's one of those kinds of movies, and then maybe something happens at the end. So that's what I was going for. It was a kind of atmosphere in which we're just exploring little moments of alienation, and then suddenly there's a moment of genuine feeling where the narrator hears a voice. I'm thinking of your voice, and it suddenly it's almost becomes too much, and the narrator cuts it off and has to go on with her day. Yep. Or his day. So that's how I perceived that song.
Yeah, well, and you know, as we've seen time and again with songs, poems, paintings, you know, the artist may have something specific in mind, and the viewer slash listener slash reader may have a completely different but equally, you know, an equally valid interpretation of that piece of art. It's one of the great things about art.
Exactly. A song is like a sculpture. You know, you can just let it take its space and people look at it from different angles and they'll see different things.
Now, the next song you're going to do for us, Frank and Ava, you were talking before about how you kind of find a theme and stick with it for a couple of songs. I mean, you know, Tom's Diner begins with the death of an actor, which turns out to be William Holden. The song Freeze Tag mentioned Bogart and Bacall. And now we have Frank and Ava. So there's kind of, I mean, you may be focusing on New York, but Hollywood is getting in the mix.
Yes.
Here and there.
Yeah. As well as Marlena on the Wall, I think, this is about Marlena Dietrich. That's something that's always fascinated me, the idea of glamour, the idea of, which I have to say, Lou Reed had that also. You know, his image was so stylized and so glamorous. And so that's a world I never get tired of exploring. Who were they? It's a fascinating world, and it's one that doesn't exist so much now. You know, it was really of its time, the 30s and 40s.
So Frank and Ava, referring, of course, to Frank Sinatra, Ava Gardner. This song, too, is on Suzanne Vega's new record called An Evening of New York Songs and Stories, recorded live at New York's Cafe Carlyle. And Suzanne's with us at home. Let's hear another live performance.
On the way to the B-Day is when the trouble used to start. It didn't mean she wasn't queen of the tinderbox that was his heart. Her fire, his desire, meant that everything must come undone. And so now we know that it's not enough to be in love. She's so true, he is too. She says, I love you, Frank. And then they drank all night. What a fight. He says, it isn't me you're thinking of. She's cool, makes him cruel. And they needle till the jewels go raining down upon the ground. She says, it's not enough to be in love. Not enough to be in love. They woke up, they broke up. They were so volatile, and all the while life passed, and it went fast, and yet they never could forget the chemistry, like you and me. It proved to keep them both apart for life, and so now we know that it's not enough to be in love. Enough to be in love.
That's called Frank and Ava. And on the new record, that is Suzanne, one of the rockin' tracks where the band really gets to, you know, crank the amps up and have some fun.
Yeah, and they sing background vocals, which I did not attempt to do that myself, so.
Yeah. So, Francadeva from Suzanne Vega, the new record is called An Evening of New York Songs and Stories. This wasn't your first time at the Cafe Carlyle, was it?
No, it was my second time.
Yeah. So sometimes I'll see a name at the Cafe Carlyle and I'll just be like, really? I did not expect to ever see this person or that band at the Cafe Carlyle.
Yeah.
I mean, what was your first reaction to the idea the first time that you played at the cafe?
Oh, I was thrilled. I was thrilled for the invitation. Back then, it didn't really showcase people that were up and coming. You always had to be a performer of a certain stature to play there. You had to be Eartha Kitt, or is the one I always think of. I went there the first time to see Judy Collins, and I've seen her perform in many different circumstances. But it's a beautiful venue that's bordering on cabaret, really.
Right.
But that's why we tried to do the songs that had a little bit of jazz feeling. The songs like Pornographer's Dream or there's a few others, Thin Man. So it's not just songs that are about New York, but songs that have a kind of slinky, jazzy feeling, which weirdly enough, Walk on the Wild Side fits right in there.
Absolutely. And a little hint of maybe Brazilian music here and there in the set as well.
Yes, exactly.
Is that something you grew up with, growing up in New York City?
I fell in love with Astrud Gilberto. Where she had a hit called The Girl from Ipanema, and I just fell in love with her voice. And then I fell in love with the genre of music, and it was a style I listened to constantly, especially all through my teens. And I tried to learn as many of the chords as I could learn and tried to feel the rhythms. I thought of it as adult sophisticated music. And then when I became an adult, it was all punk rock. Everything had changed. So I still love it though.
So the album's An Evening of New York Songs and Stories. It comes out tomorrow. Suzanne, it's always a pleasure to hear you and to have a chance to talk with you. Thank you so much for playing for us and for spending some time with us today.
Thank you, John. It's always a pleasure to see you as well. You've been part of my life for a long time.
He is not my friend, but he is with me.
Well, here's a little bit of that Brazilian-tinged song, Thin Man, from the new album, An Evening of New York Songs and Stories. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Watch the videos of Suzanne Vega's performances on our website at newsounds.org or on YouTube.
He's the thin man with a date for me.